Welcome to this special edition of the Neurology Live Mind Moments podcast. Tune in to hear leaders in neurology sound off on topics that impact your clinical practice. I'm your host, Matt Hoffman, Associate Editorial Director with Neurology Live, and today I have a breaking news story.
On Tuesday, April 25th, the FDA approved Biogen and Ionis' treatment tofersen, now marketed as QALSODY, a therapeutic designed to treat patients with SOD1 mutation-mediated amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, a genetic form of ALS for which there are no other approved products, under the accelerated approval pathway. The decision was supported by the treatment's demonstrated reduction of plasma neurofilament light, or NFL, a blood-based biomarker of axonal injury and neurodegeneration. The ALS treatment is administered intrathecally via lumbar puncture with a recommended dosage of 100 mg per milliliter per administration. Patients receive three initial doses administered at 14-day intervals, followed by a maintenance dose every 28 days. Shortly after the FDA made its decision, Neurology Live spoke with Dr. Angela Genge, the director of the ALS Center of Excellence for Research and Patient Care at McGill University and an executive at the Clinical Research Unit at the Neuro. Here's Dr. Genge with her immediate reaction to the decision.
I'm happy, overjoyed, relieved. I believe the FDA has done the right thing. This is a breakthrough therapy for an ultra-rare form, subset of ALS, those with familial genetically determined SOD1 ALS. And the FDA gave it accelerated approval on the full package and acknowledged that neurofilament as a biomarker readout can be used in SOD1 ALS as a surrogate for efficacy. And in the case of tofersen, this is a key feature of the drug development program and actually opens up the possibility that in other forms of ALS, we can now develop and validate and biomarkers, neurofilaments and others, to enable us to get drugs in development, through development, and to approval in a more efficient manner, and potentially including smaller populations of patients only to allow trials to be run faster.
The FDA's decision makes this treatment now the fourth approved option for the treatment of ALS and the first for SOD1 ALS, marking a milestone moment for the clinical care paradigm. But perhaps even more notably, as the indicated population for tofersen is patients with SOD1-mediated disease, this therapy has a unique distinction in that it targets the root cause of disease, which is not the case among the other available ALS drugs. Here's Dr. Genge with a little more on the implications of this approval.
Because it's the first drug of ALS of any type that is truly disease-modifying. And that distinction is critical because what we now have is a way to treat patients with SOD1 ALS that we actually treat the root cause of their ALS, misfolded SOD1, and by treating the root cause, we have changed ALS from a fatal to a chronic condition, because the effect of this drug not only is to lower neurofilament and lower SOD1 levels, but we see in the open label extension portion of this program, in particular, the leveling off of the ALS-FRS. The leveling off of the pulmonary functions, the leveling off of the other outcome measures, suggesting and in fact demonstrating that patients stop progressing. Once they start this therapy, it's actually longer than 6 months, but shorter than a year, they stop progressing. We stop having events. They stop dropping in their ALS FRS score. It is really extraordinary.
Tofersen is an antisense oligonucleotide, and its application for approval was supported by multiple studies, a phase 1 study of healthy volunteers, a phase 1-2 dose ascending study, and the pivotal phase 3 VALOR study and its open label extension. In March, the FDA's CNS Advisory Committee came to a split vote on the therapy's data, voting unanimously that the reductions in NFL are reasonably likely to predict clinical benefit, but also voting that the effects seen from tofersen on NFL were not sufficient to warrant traditional FDA approval. In VALOR, tofersen failed to show statistically significant change in the primary endpoint of ALS Functional Rating Scale Revise relative to placebo. However, it did show positive effects in multiple secondary and exploratory endpoints. Here's Dr. Genge with a bit more context.
In this instance, the trial failed the drug. The drug did not fail the trial. And the lessons learned from this program are that we need to carefully understand the effect of the drug on both the biomarkers and the patient. We need to understand that by decreasing SOD1 and neurofilament in the first 12 weeks, that it will take additional time to see the full effect in the patients being tested. The other thing we learned is if you choose to run your primary outcome measure on a subset of the patients in a trial, you need to be very aware of whether that subset holds, whether the behavior of that subset of patients actually will hold up over time. Your assumptions about how those patients will progress must hold up over time. If you get a change from what is been seen or what is assumed to happen, because you change any feature of the subset that makes up your primary analysis, you need to adjust your primary analysis or adjust the length of time of your trial or address your statistical analysis plan to recognize the difference between your assumptions and the reality.
Tofersen was approved via the accelerated approval pathway, which was built to facilitate drug development for serious or life-threatening conditions. By definition, an agent that goes through this pathway must demonstrate an effect on a surrogate endpoint that is not itself a direct measure of the clinical benefit of interest, but instead is reasonably likely to predict clinical benefit. Some of our listeners may recognize the name of this pathway from the approval of two Alzheimer's disease treatments, aducanumab in 2021 and lecanemab earlier this year in January. For both of those treatments, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid did not provide coverage outside of clinical trials, which has limited access to the therapies. Whether this will be the case for tofersen remains to be seen. Here's Dr. Genge one final time with her perspective on those potential access challenges.
We need to actually all work together on this. We need to be able to explain to the gatekeepers of access, which are different than the regulators, even in countries other than the U.S. The regulators are separate from the gatekeepers, and we need to ensure that the gatekeepers understand just how significant this finding is, that when you get a true disease-modifying therapy in a disease like ALS, that you actually change the course of the disease for the patient, their families, their work. They remain at work. They continue to live their lives. It completely changes the course of the disease. I, like you, hope that this brings more interest in the ALS field and ALS as a model for all neurodegenerative diseases. I believe it will. I believe that we will see programs that are more robust than in the past, with more biomarkers, better outcome measures. The Critical Path Institute is now going to be involved in helping us as a community come up with those better outcome measures and better use of biomarkers. All of this will mean there are drugs available for patients with ALS.
For more coverage of tofersen's approval, you can check out the corresponding links in the show notes or head to neurologylive.com. Additionally, more coverage of rare disorders can be found on our clinical focus pages. Thanks for listening to this special episode of the Neurology Live Mind Moments podcast. We'll be back on Friday, May 5th with our regularly scheduled episodes. Look out for more special episodes over the course of 2023 and beyond.